Greetings, Null Space Faithful. I am Scott Null.
And I am Captain Nostalgia.
Yeah, the missing Captain Nostalgia there.
Yeah. Very much missing.
We're back. Yeah,
it's been a rough couple. We are.
Yeah.
And well, we're doing something a little different today. We are recording through different towns.
We've done this in the past, but this is just what works right now as far as our schedules. Jerry, you've been dying for the past forever, it seems.
Yeah, I've been in and out of urgent care hospitals and doctors, and they still have no idea what the hell's going on with my body. They're like, well, fuck you, you're dying. I'm like, oh, well, that's nice, thank you.
I'm pretty sure you just have the second controller plugged in. You gotta move that back into the first slot.
Ah, shit, I haven't done that yet. How would I actually work with a physical form? Do I have shit?
I don't know. I think you gotta rip off an arm.
An arm?
Yeah.
And then attach it to whom?
I don't know. We'll have to figure that out.
Attach it to the wall. Just girlfriend comes home. Like, what the hell is that?
Like, either that or just do the Konami code in real life.
Start, up, down, down.
Yeah, just start moving around in your living room.
Just flail around.
What's he doing?
They're just looking. Oh, he's got a fever. It's fine.
Yeah,
that happens.
Other than that, we've been working pretty hard on the social media aspect of Null Space. Big hello to everybody new out there that is now following us on Twitter, Facebook. We're even on Instagram now.
Holy crap, I didn't know that.
Yeah. Instagram right now consists mainly of the crappy-ass line drawings I've been trying to do. But still, it's a nice way.
I looked at them. They're pretty good, man. Yeah. I mean, as for you trying to pick that up again, it's pretty good. I'll give you compliments on that.
We're getting there. I'd like to eventually do some actual fan art that we can post on there, but I thought it'd be fun to kind of share my shitty beginning and how I've been trying to do this for the past 30 years, and now I'm actually making headway. So, and to everybody who stuck with us and is still sticking around, welcome back. Today we got two topics, one a little lighter, and the second going to be a little heavier than our usual topics, but I think it's important for us to discuss.
Yeah, it's topical, too. So.
Yeah, the first topic we're going to talk about, the Switch just turned 1 year old on the 3rd, so we're going to talk about where we are, where we're going, and then the second one, gun violence in the news, as always, and once again, gaming being blamed. So we're going to talk about our thoughts on that.
Thing, of course.
Yeah. So, Jerry, happy birthday to the Switch.
Happy birthday to the Switch. Are you still playing your Switch?
I'm playing it daily.
Yeah,
I did not think I would be playing it this often. If you asked me a year ago if I would still be playing the first game I got on it, I would probably say no. But
wow. What game are you playing?
Breath of the Wild.
Oh, you're still playing Breath of the Wild. Okay. I didn't know if you got 1-2 Switch and I'm addicted to 1-2
Switch. Yeah. I keep doing them.
I can't stop.
I've been doing the modeling mini game in the living room. There's now a bald spot in the carpet where I do my runway walk. So.
I like it. I love it a lot.
Ziggy has asked me to stop, and I will not.
I can see your cats getting away, get out of here!
Daddy's walking!
Join us!
No, pose! But no, I started Breath of the Wild over again, a while back, and I've now just kind of picked it up again so I can get to the expansion.
Mm-hmm.
The thing is, the first expansion, the Master Sword quests, I just got through those, and now the game is ridiculously easy because you get to a point where the Master Sword, has 60 attack power and just an insane, durability. So it's like the ultimate weapon now, but
yeah,
I've been beating the Divine Beast just so I can get to the second expansion. And, it's still a good game.
It's very much a good game. Like when I got sick, last week it was really bad. I had everything coming out of my body, including my soul. So I decided to lay in bed, and the only thing I could do was play with my Switch, which kind of saved my life and my sanity for a while. Because I played a lot more Breath of the Wild, just cuddling up in bed with a fever.
Having fever hallucinations with being Link. I started calling him Lunk.
Lunk?
I was Lunk.
Lunk?
Yeah,
okay.
I was Lunk.
You would be a Lunk. Lunk is the idiot that Ganondorf, Zelda, and Link are always reincarnated. Lunk is also there, but they just kind of push him out. He's the one who's eating the grass as Link is saving the world.
I think Lunk would actually save the world faster, but just by, sheer coincidence.
Yeah, just by accident. Like, he trips
exactly.
And pushes Ganondorf into a volcano.
Everything just explodes.
Pretty
he doesn't
flower.
Even know it. He's still eating the grass.
I love Lunk. Lunk is great.
Lunk is just sitting there, his eyes going in different directions, and he's got the stink lines because he doesn't bathe or anything.
And for some reason, he also has the Majora's Mask.
Yeah, he's got the most powerful shit even wear because it. He just finds it.
Doesn't even use it either.
he only makes it through dungeons because he trips and kind of like falls to the end.
Yeah, like some sort of like secret door opens that was not.
Yeah,
supposed to
open. Like he literally just sits down and he sits on the magic switch that makes everything disappear and die, and
he just walks through it.
Yeah,
and then beautiful babes around him all the time.
Like the big flashing sign that says "Go Lunk" comes down because the gods have prepared this all for him anyways.
Oh, Lunk.
Lunk is the chosen hero.
Can we just make this a webcomic now? There you go. That's your new goal. Make this a webcomic with your new artistic skills, Scott.
My artistic skills could probably match what Lunk would look like, so I could probably do that. Anyway, back to the Switch. Are you still playing yours on a regular basis?
Yes. Actually, yes. I also got my fiance the new re-release of Bayonetta 1 and 2, so she's been really enjoying that too. Because, you know, we have a kid, and that sometimes is not appropriate, so she likes, you know, undocking it and playing on the couch and just, like, going to town for like, a couple hours. So it's been very nice.
That is the thing, is I am primarily undocked when playing.
Really?
Yeah, I generally don't dock it on the TV anymore, just because, like you said, you want to have it, I want to be able to play and watch stuff at the same time, and this way, like, Ziggy gets to watch whatever she wants to watch, and I get to play Zelda pretty much nonstop.
I mean, I still like the best of both worlds, like playing on the TV once in a while, but I also like having this as a portable device where I can take it to work or like on my breaks or whatever, and that's nice.
I can't remember the last time I actually had it plugged in, actually. Bless you.
Plugged in right now. Thank you.
Ziggy's is. She's got one, and she's got, like, you know, Splatoon 2 on there. It's pretty much plugged in, but that's usually just for charging. I think this is pretty much the best way to replace the Nintendo handheld.
I think it could be. I think it's kind of funny, because when I played the Nintendo Wii U, I never played this much undocked, because with Nintendo Wii U, I was more frustrated, because I felt like I really wanted to play more on the TV, and they were still trying to strive more to the portable aspect of not playing on the TV. And with the Switch, I'm just the complete opposite now. Like, I am completely devoted to playing undocked.
Yeah. Did you think that it would be this big of a hit?
No, actually. I thought it was going to have, like, a lot of steam for, like, you know, 6 months, and then slowly, I don't know, absent for, but it's for the...
The thing is, we've got the hardware and the software that lined up perfectly, and Nintendo has been doing very well because of it. A lot of people have come back to Nintendo, which is very interesting, and good to see, because you and I both like Nintendo. Probably,
we do.
Probably a little too much.
It's a love-hate relationship with me sometimes, because I want them to strive and I want them both, but at the same time, they're run by a bunch of old people who don't want to grow.
But we haven't had a chance to talk about this yet, but I'd like to that you brought that up. Labo.
Ah.
Or Labo, or whatever.
I'm calling it Labo, because Nintendo.
Whatever.
Rhymes.
I mean, is that innovation? It's very interesting. It's a step. I don't know which direction we're going in, but...
I mean, I think people are excited for it. I my only problem is the price tag. I don't know if I can afford the, what is it, $70 and $80 or $60 and $80 price tag.
The price is up there.
It's two different sets, though. That's the thing. Two different sets, and plus, you know, the cardboard, whatever, how much it's cost. And I look at this, because, like, there are a bunch of little mini games, which are cool, like, kind of like, you know, the Nintendo Land or Wii Sports or whatever, and you get to play the thing. I play the shit out of Wii Sports, it's fine with me. But with Labo, like, it's cardboard, which I think it's cool, because you're taking something digital, making more physical in your environment and being creative at the same time. I think that's glorious. $80. I don't know. That's pretty steep for me personally. I don't know about you.
It is. It's a steep price. I believe they said something about offering replacement cardboard for free, which is pretty much what you'd want to see.
That's not nice.
Because
I didn't know that. If they do that, that's great.
It is just cardboard, you know.
Yes.
But it, as far as innovation, it definitely is something we have not seen before. So
no, and this is definitely a true Nintendo move.
Oh yeah, definitely
doing something completely different and literally thinking outside of the cardboard box.
Or this time inside. I think that's neat.
Yes.
Other than that, as far as the commercial success, it may be advertising, but a lot of it is the name as well. We're not sticking with Wii U, which really was a mistake.
Yeah, that was a bad name. Everybody thought it was a college.
Yeah. They thought it was a just an add-on for the Wii. And mm-hmm. the Wii had, I mean, at the point the Wii U had come out, the Wii was, everybody was pretty much over it. So they should have moved away rather than try and build on. And I think mm-hmm. they finally learned that lesson here. We're still seeing issues with online. Not necessarily the actual network, but definitely voice chat is missing. You have the add-on.
That was a mess with Splatoon. The squid thing. We talked about that before, right?
Yeah, it's I'm not counting that. That's just, it's too ridiculous as a setup to consider. So I'd like to see within the next year an improvement on that. We are going to be paying for online in 2018. So, I mean, if you're going to be paying for it, then yeah, we have to see some things improve.
Yeah. Well, I heard it was like $20 a year, which is not horrible. I mean, it's still better than Xbox's $60 and PlayStation's. But with PlayStation and Xbox, you get a lot of features and free games, which Nintendo, I believe, is also doing.
They briefly allowed customer reviews on the online games, but have revoked it again. I think it is more of a they're testing out the beta before they give a final release. But a lot of people were excited about that and are upset now that it's no longer a feature. Okay. So
yeah, we'll see. Are you gonna get it? Are you gonna swap out the $20 bill for the online service?
Yeah, not for me, but I know Kelsey will want to play Splatoon. So
sure.
I generally don't play online, no matter what the game is. I think the most online gaming I do is with PlayerUnknown Battleground, and I don't have to talk to anybody there. So,
yeah, that's what's actually kind of nice.
So, I mean, the voice chat complaint is not for me. I could care less, but I know a lot of people out there are upset. So
yeah, I mean, I would like to play online with some more games, but I guess voice chat is not a huge thing for me because I play a lot of online games myself, and the only time I talk is if I'm actually playing with a friend. That's because the only person I actually want to talk to is the person I'm joining. But other than that, I do not communicate with big groups of people. I just like to keep to myself and just try to chill out and kill out. I don't know. What do you think is actually missing?
Right now, I am actually fairly happy with the system. I think it's missing. We definitely need to see something a little sturdier because I don't know about you, but mine is showing the wear. It's a handheld system, so it's going to, but there are still warping problems out there, which I have a problem with. People having a curve to their system because of the heating issue, it does get pretty warm.
It does. I mean, that's a little package with a lot of power, so I can guess, yeah, that overheating issue should probably be a problem.
I would definitely like to see more third-party support.
Obviously. I know it sounds weird, but I would, you know, it would help if they had the, like, Assassin's Creed and Call of Duties.
It would, because, I mean, the game should be able to handle it. I mean, you're getting a reduced image, and it's pretty much limited to 30 frames a second, but we need more than just Nintendo at this point.
Honestly, I think it would really help if, like, even for, like, a Call of Duty. Like, I've heard people say, like, if you got Call of Duty portable, the people, I think, would get that. People would love that.
I would honestly like to see, first of all, we are still missing any sort of real virtual console games, throwback games. We have the few that they have on there, the arcade versions, but I'd like to see, you know... I'd also like to see more Bethesda. I think a portable version of the Bethesda games are just better because there's a lot of maintaining with the RPGs. There's a lot of menus and stuff like that, and just being able to watch TV while you do it is ideal.
Oh yeah.
I
agree with the virtual console thing with you. I've been kind of like bummed out because, you know, maybe I do want to play with, like, my Mario 3 or my Mario World Zelda Link to the Past 2, like, at work or whatever at my lunch break, but I can't because I don't know. I know it sounds weird, but I sometimes I bring my 3DS and my Switch just because I can't play both games and they're both portable, and why can I not have these same games on the Switch and just slowly move completely to the Switch?
That is one of the that is one of the strange consequences with the Switch, though. I don't really think we saw coming was that it's killed the 3DS. I mean, I can't remember the last time I picked mine up, and that was my go-to system for the longest time.
Oh, yeah, mine's next on my bed all the time, because, like, before I go to bed, I have my little games. I play, like, Animal Crossing,
getting more of the badge collector game. And, you know, I do my little routines and it kind of calms me, mellows me down. But at this point, like, I think we can start translating these into the Switch, and I think there's a bigger market for that.
That is what I would like to see in the upcoming year. I would like to see more third party, and I'd like to see them port a lot more of the old Wii U titles over.
I think they're starting on that already. I mean, we saw Donkey Kong coming out, and what was another one?
Oh, there's just been a ton of them. Hyrule Warriors is coming out later this year. I mean, Pokken Tournament, they've been slowly moving over some of the better titles. I just want to see more of them.
Sure.
Number one.
I also, do you feel like one of those people that feel like they got screwed over because you bought the original game for $60, but now they're re-releasing it, a better version of the Switch, also for the same price?
I would have liked an ability to discount that, but that's not really different than HD remake. I mean, you're just buying the same game over again, and
price if you want to replay it again.
Yeah, how many times have I already done that? I like to see it as more of a perk that we got to play it early.
I guess. I mean, I have Hyrule Warriors already. I have no intention to rebuy it again for my Switch. I mean, I'm going to keep my Wii U. If it's like a super really awesome game for the Wii U that I really like, I don't know. I think I would really like an Animal Crossing game personally.
I would like to see the HD remake of Wind Waker come to the Switch. I also want to see Star Fox. I want them to fix what was wrong.
Star Fox.
I want them to fix what was wrong with Zero. But they're not going to.
There's so many things wrong with Zero.
They're not going to. I would just like to see it.
No, they would have to reprogram the whole game entirely.
The number one game I want to see on it, though, and there's really for no other reason than the fact that I want to just be able to play it handheld and have it work well, is the original Doom. I want Doom 1 and 2 on the Switch. And I've been begging for that for forever now. There's a group of people out there that are trying to hack the system and put it on there, but I want a legitimate version. I want to be able to update my system and play Doom.
I would honestly play co-op with you online with that. That'd be fun,
wouldn't it? It would just be such a great time. It is the perfect handheld system to play Doom on. And every time I get a new piece of hardware, usually PC wise, Doom is my go-to. for whatever it is, I play Doom, and it's not testing anything. It's just kind of tradition. You know, if it's compatible with Doom, it works.
Yeah, I mean, I see this as a possibility. You might get it. I mean, they've already released the 2015 Doom.
Doom 2016? Yeah. But,
so they released that. So we know that Nintendo has the intention to maybe have more mature titles come around. So
well, we've got Doom, we've got Bayonetta, mature titles have not been an issue for about a year now. They really have been marketing this towards pretty much everybody, which is good. I mean,
we have a good chance of getting it, maybe, if the Virtual Console actually goes up.
Yeah, but then they're going to put the Super Nintendo version on, which would be bad.
We're not going to do that. That one's bad.
Doom, and then Doom 64, that would be great too.
Doom 64 would be sweet. Did they release that on the old Virtual Console? I don't remember.
I don't think they did.
That was a sweet version. I mean, they rebuilt that from the ground up. That'd be cool to see again.
But any sort of Virtual Console right now that's more than just the arcade game they got on there would be neat. As far as rumors or what's to come, we're getting to the point where you see a lot of leaked, in quotes, Pokemon starters, which means that a new generation probably is not far off, and Pokemon for the Switch, I expect to hear something about it this year. I don't know if we actually will, but if that's probably one of my it's probably one of my early E3 predictions for 2018.
I'm hoping, I guess my hope, but not, it's always an Animal Crossing game. Just want Animal Crossing forever. I mean, this would be perfect for you, because you've always complained that Animal Crossing should be more portable. Now it's the best of both worlds. I get what I want on playing the big screen, and you get what you want by playing anywhere you want.
The problem I have with that is they just came out with a mobile version, and I'm kind of hesitant to see if they're going to try and bring some of that mobile version over to a console. I think that would be a mistake, because it's just, it's not the same game. Have you played
it's fine. I mean, it's a free-to-play mobile version. I think this is a very good opportunity to get, like, people who haven't played Animal Crossing to become more of an Animal Crossing fan. And I think it's more of a marketing ploy to maybe get into the heavier stuff, kind of like a drug dealer.
Yeah.
It's like, the first taste is free, and you'll enjoy this. guys.
If we
come
do
back later if you want more.
If we do see an Animal Crossing come out this year or announce this year, I'd like them to combine Happy Home Academy with what they learned there and pop that into the main. I would also love going back to the first one, Animal Parade, Animal Crossing, where they had the unlockable games, the NES games. I think that was one of the bigger features of that version. And I mean, they're not going to do it, but that would be great.
They would lose so much money. They, you know, do that.
Tell you what, the Animal Crossing on Switch has to have emulator software that you can play games you own on the Switch in Animal Crossing.
It's not a bad idea.
It is a bad idea. It's a terrible idea. I still want to see it. I want to be able
I was thinking more like if you already own, like, say, the games on, like, that you download a Mario or whatever, it will read that off your memory card and go, oh, you already own these games. Would you like to play them through Animal Crossing? And just kind of go in your house and play it and pretend that you're immersed more into the game. I kind of like that idea.
I really don't think that's a possibility, but...
I know, it's stupid, but I don't know. I think it's cute.
Other things I'd like to see this year for the system... I want a cheaper controller. I want more customization of the Nintendo. I'd like to see bigger titles. I'd like to see indie support, you know, more. I want more. That's what I want this year.
I'm addicted. I need more of this. Yeah,
I get you. I think they're working on it. I think right now what they have is a pretty good solid start for first year. I like them a lot, actually. I didn't think this was going to be more enjoyable than the Wii U, but it was.
Yeah, I don't think I have one, except for 1-2 Switch. I haven't had one game that I really regretted getting.
Honestly, I want to go back to the Wii, because I think there are actually better games that there were on the Wii and the Wii U for first year.
Having Virtual Console go back to the Wii or GameCube would be perfect.
Yeah, I want the GameCube. GameCube.
Yeah, getting the chance to play Luigi's Mansion on the Switch would be hilarious. I'd love it. Who didn't love that game? The GameCube has such a great library, and I mean, I think we've been away from it long enough to start bringing it back. Even if it's just HD remakes, I would love all that too.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I know they have the support for the GameCube adapter that works now on the Switch.
Mine actually kind of crapped out. It's iffy if it works all the time.
There's one on Amazon right now for like $17, and it apparently has like, I've been thinking about just getting this one as well, because you can plug it into your PC and still use it for like controller ports for your GameCube.
Wow.
As well as it still works for the Switch too.
We might have to put the link up for that in the channel.
It's really cool, and I'm like, that's really awesome, and it's got like 5 stars for like 1,000 reviews. They're like, yeah, this is the most solid thing ever. Nintendo, why didn't you do this?
All right, before we hop off to our next topic, anything else you want to bring up about the past year with Nintendo Switch?
Not really. I think I'm happy with it. I will hopefully be happy with it. I want them to continue more on the Virtual Console. That's pretty much my big grape right now.
Virtual console and third party support, but that's pretty much always every system that comes out for Nintendo will be the same two complaints.
I don't think they've learned yet, or they're just having problems with, I don't know, other companies maybe.
And then online support, Nintendo is still
common problems.
They are still in caveman era with online support. It's just we'll get there someday, but that's after virtual reality will have taken hold. I mean, you'll finally have good Nintendo voice chat while everybody else has got headsets. Yeah. All right, we're gonna move on to a little mini topic here before we get on to the big stuff. Jerry, it's time for our crazy random little dumb topic piece.
That's your new theme song for that.
Yeah, we're going to spin the topic wheel. All right, Jerry. What final boss do you think you could take in a fight?
In a fight?
Yeah, in a fist fight. Or who do you think?
You're talking about like Sephiroth? He's pretty easy.
Who do you think you could beat up, Jerry?
Does it have to be a final boss or
just
a boss?
Yes, it has to be a final boss. I'm gonna say DDD. I could take DDD in a fight.
DDD's pretty easy, yeah.
He's a fat penguin. And I think I could beat him.
You know what? I think I could probably take Bowser from Super Mario World, because he just kind of floats around, and he just kind of once in a while like drops a bowling ball on you, but I'm like, well, I could just dodge it.
That's fine. Super Mario World. Yeah, where he's dropping the Mecha Koopas, and they're all walking around the roof.
Like, if you really like study the patterns, you can not do anything. You just stand still most of the time.
I don't really believe that A, you could jump high enough to avoid that boulder, or B, you have enough of a throwing arm to throw the Mecha Koopas at him. I think the fight would go on for forever.
That's true. But I guess if I have other things, like, you know, like if I had a fire flame, like fire flower, I could just throw it at his face. But I always viewed that kind of Bowser kind of like Shredder from the Ninja Turtles. Like, oh, you turtles!
Yeah. That's the thing is, I've been reading through, for a Christmas present this year, I got the Super Mario Adventures comic, with the art done by Charlie Nozawa from the Nintendo Power. And it's pretty much the art style of Super Mario World, and that is the exact kind of villain he is in there. And I really wish they would go back to these characters, because you have Mario being Mario, and he's, you know, just, he's kind of boring, he's a blank slate, but you have the Luigi coward idiot. I mean, he's getting himself into trouble, and he's terrified of everything, and he's just dumb. And you have Peach, who nowadays she's like had a lobotomy, and
dude, she's an idiot. I can't stand Peach. Like, why can't they give her more of a personality?
And so embarrassing. Back in this comic, she's like, take charge. She jumps in before thinking. She's very, it's just refreshing to see that, you know, she used to be a character instead of like a cardboard cutout. Like, even in the latest game, I mean, when you have Paulina come in, and she just completely overshadows Peach, and because Peach is boring. She's boring. She's airheaded. She has something has destroyed her brain.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's a ditz. That's
pretty true. And it's sad.
It's very sad. I don't like Peach. Like, even was it? I had that McDonald's toys from 2017.
Yeah.
And all the toys are pretty cool, except for the Peach toy.
Oh, she doesn't spin.
She just stands there.
Yeah.
Well, but the toy doesn't even work that well. She's like, her personality works like the toy. Broken.
You know,
it doesn't work very well.
The last game she showed any sort of like mental competence was Mario 64. And I think something happened to her between Mario 64 and Mario Sunshine. That's why they're going on the vacation. She got out of the brain surgery, and they need to, like, you know, take a load off for a while. That's my theory.
We can't kill her. Okay.
Okay. Now for a heavier topic. Like I said, as always in the U.S., gun violence is in the news lately, and we had an archaic argument brought up, and we're going to try to keep this as limited as unpolitical as possible. But when they drag politics, they dragged us into politics, so you have to be a little political when you talk about it.
Well, I guess we're just trying to defend ourselves, I guess.
Now, back in a little bit of a history, back in 1990, I don't know what I want to say, 3, Mortal Kombat?
Yeah, it's around that area.
Was the first real game to be blamed for game violence. I mean, it's not the first game. They've been trying to put a pin on video games and gaming in general since, like, Dungeons & Dragons was blamed for devil worship. So yeah.
I think even my mom was freaked out by that too. Like, I heard, like, she wanted, like, one of my friends was playing D&D, and she's like, no. You're not getting into that.
That's Mortal Kombat was when violence was going to warp us all, and we were going to grow up to be masochists. Maniac. And yes, just killing each other and everything. And I mean, it wasn't true back then, and it still isn't true today.
I know.
But
they did try to help it out. That's when the ESRB actually came into play, and they tried to help parents, like, educate, like, okay, this is going to work like a movie system now. Like, this is, you know, M for mature, E for everybody, but there was no T yet, but that came later in the day.
The T is basically PG-13, you know?
Exactly. And then there's like E10. They just came out a couple of years ago. So it's like, it's for 10 and under or whatever. So that's fine.
And I mean, early graphics, it's almost laughable today that we would consider things like Doom or Mortal Kombat as like too graphic for children because of how it looked. It was all pixels.
I know.
Back then, that was the big fear. And then we moved on to Doom, which was blamed for Columbine. And then...
Yeah, because they played Doom. Because they found Doom on their computer.
Grand Theft Auto was a big one. Every time a new one came out after 3, it was in the local news about, oh, it's going to make your kids cop killers, and they're going to run over hookers and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and
that did not shut up for a while.
And
but there were certain things, too. Like, do you remember when I worked
at the Hollywood Video Store, and we worked at Game Crazy, even that too, where parents come in and they say they want to buy, you know, Grand Theft Auto or Call of Duty for their, I don't know, 6-year-old. And we would explain, like, there's a certain scene in this game that, you know, you do gun down innocent civilians, but the parents also didn't care. So, I don't know. I'm just bringing that up because I got mad at parents a lot of the time. Because even if you try to educate them, they still didn't care.
Well, that's the thing, is it's just like, you can look at these games and claim that they're causing all of this, but what about the parents that are letting their kids play this game? They need to, I mean, most everybody can determine the difference between fantasy of stealing cars and driving all over the place and reality where you don't do that. That's common sense. They're always claiming that, like, these games are going to warp reality, but you and I have been playing violent video games since the beginning.
Yes, literally the beginning.
Now
I started with Atari.
Now, so yeah. I mean, to argue that...
Asteroids made me want to kill people.
Yeah, to argue that the violence is going to warp minds, I mean, we have had the most exposure possible, and I personally don't even own a gun. You know?
No, I don't even own a gun either. Now, I shot a real gun, but I have no purpose of actually owning a gun.
Now, the thing from there is the fact that it's a ludicrous argument that has been disproven time and time again. And for a while there, we hadn't had this argument pop up. I mean, it was left in the 90s and early 2000s and left there to die where it belonged. but now has been brought back into the spotlight. And I feel today with games that are actually more graphic and more violent, it's a topic that we should explore, but keep our heads about, you know, because like I said,
I agree.
It's the separation between fantasy and reality. And I put people that think that video game violence is going to really relate to real world violence, I put them in the same category as people that were afraid Harry Potter was going to lead to devil worshiping. But
there are still groups like out there like that, just FYI.
I mean,
still going.
It's just it doesn't correlate, and there are studies that prove that. Not to mention the fact that these games are also available all over the world, but the only problem that seems to be blamed on it is happening here. So
yeah, that's weird, huh?
So I cannot stress enough that I do not agree that this is the case. Like you brought up, a lot of it has to do with parenting. I mean,
well, that was the thing too. Like, I'm not trying to blame the game of the parent, like, not giving a damn. I was just, yeah, that was the whole thing of the parents not giving a damn in general.
And
maybe because they were like, say, when it, like, they weren't caring about the video game, that's one thing. But what else is going on in their personal life too? That's also the thing you have to consider with a person, is not just because about the video game, but whatever's going on in their personal life and their mental abilities, maybe to comprehend something. I don't know.
I mean, as a parent, I think you should know what your kids are playing. And even if you're if you don't know, like, most people didn't know about the strip club in GTA 5. I don't think that was the worst aspect of it. But I mean, if
people freaked out more about the hot coffee mop that you couldn't access.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I think it's more about, I mean, you can't necessarily ban your kids from playing, like, things you don't agree with, because they have friends. They're, you know, you can't control them all the time. It's the same problem.
The internet is a bigger place now.
Yeah, it's there's more of a problem with, like, what they're seeing on YouTube, because it just, there's very little filter out there, and you can't possibly be everywhere at once to watch them. I think it's more important to talk with them and explain that this is make-believe, but mm-hmm. I think most people, no matter the age, don't need that conversation. Like, otherwise we'd be
having a different conversation.
We'd be all dead from Tom and Jerry, you know. But what are your feelings? What do you think is, I guess, appropriate or inappropriate about game violence and how we deal with it in the real world?
I think game violence, like, obviously, you know, I play a lot of Call of Duty just because I like the online play, and I shoot some baddies and whatever. There's not real people. More of the competitive aspect of it. I'm not looking at the fact that, like, oh, I shot that guy. Oh, did you see how his bullets just, like, went inside my body? Oh my god. It's not.
Yeah.
It's more of like an arcade shooter where I'm like, okay, how many points can I get in before the time runs out? And it's a very much of a, like I say, competitive field.
And
like, sports.
That's just it. It's a game that you're trying to win. It's I mean, a little less real than paintball. And
yeah.
I've had a conversation with some people that are blaming video game violence on modern violence because of a perceived bloodlust or endorphin that we're getting from shooting other people. And like you just said, that, I mean, I don't know what game they're playing. But I'm not getting any sort of euphoria from shooting pixels on the screen, you know?
Like, I was playing Turok when I was, like, in middle school and high school. And, like, when you shoot up a dinosaur and his, like, brains come out, but, like, there's, like, a little graphic, so it's, like, a particle effect at the same time. So, like, three brains come out or four rib cages. And it's kind of funny, but, like, yeah, it's really gory, but at the same time, it's really comical. I was not using it as a form of, like, that's so gory. Like, but no, it's just funny.
Yeah.
It was, it's, I don't know. It's, even if games became that realistic, like, say, like, I cut open my finger in a video game and I can see the bone or whatever, like, would that be more of, like, I don't know, like, is that pertain to a story? Does it, like, is the developers trying to pertain something to make you feel or reflect on something? Because I know with, Detroit for PS4 that's coming out later on this year, I think?
They actually gave it a release date in May, I believe.
Okay. But there was a lot of people complaining about how it was too dark and too real, because there was pertaining to situations of a person like killing his daughter and going insane and whatever, but you had to deal with these conflicts. What would you do in this situation? Like, and obviously you would try to, you know, help the situation and make sure nobody dies in the same time, but a lot of people didn't like that. I think they didn't want to confront the reality that, you know, this is a simulation, but if this was reality, how would you, you know, how would you react to this? And even with the reality, people didn't react very well because they didn't want to deal with it. That's, I just thought it was really sad.
I mean what you're talking about, it's like an exploration of a darker side of humanity. It's a fantasy, and
it's still a fantasy. Yeah.
It's cathartic. It's being able to just explore, you know, parts of yourself and reflect. And really, when it comes down to that, is the topic problematic? Yes, but so is just about every other source of media that we get these days. Movies, books, these things have not treaded lightly on the darker aspects of humanity since the beginning of media itself. So to claim that this new version is just what's causing the chaos is, I think, a little, it's obtuse.
And I just feel like they're just pointing a finger at somebody right now, and that's all they're going to do, and it's going to go away in a matter of 2 weeks.
That's exactly what it is. Is it the scapegoat? We're having actual, real problems right now, and I think everybody can agree on that. But it's reaching for the easiest answer possible. And I mean, we've got actual problems with gaming. I'm not going to lie, there are real problems with gaming. Gambling addiction, especially with the loot crate scenario.
I think actually a bigger problem. We need to talk about that next week, I think.
But as far as it relating to real world violence, it's been disproven. And I can't stress that enough, is that we've been dealing with this argument for the past 30 to 40 years and never.
And why we're still talking about it, stupid.
Never once has it been. Has it been actually related to something that's happened? No scenario has finally come back to say, oh, look, it turns out Call of Duty made him go crazy, you know?
They just kind of look at the person, like, every time I hear, like, well, that play video games, like, well, that also person, you know, brushed their toilet, too. You want to blame, you know, the toilet company and the brush cleaners for the mass murders, too? I mean, it's so stupid.
I mean, it's a lot of fear-mongering out there. We are living in an age where there's a lot of fear, and it's putting... It's the point where you want to say, let's sit down and look at why, or let's find someone to blame. And that's getting a little more philosophical than this conversation really needs. But I think we need to actually take a look at society and not subculture.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, the media that we watch, I don't think pertains to who we are.
But to the point where we're looking at this again with game violence, it's just, it's tiring. It's insulting to the majority of us can look at even the goriest games and say, okay, well, that was fun, but it's just a game. And to blame that game for the real world, what's happening, is it's short-sighted and it's insulting to us as people. Are there people that...
Did you ever see that? I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it reminded me of this report that there was a kid who played Call of Duty nonstop. He was addicted to it. He loved it. And one of the parents goes, like, have you ever shot a real gun before? So the news team came out and it's like, all right, we're going to show you how to shoot a gun. and this is what it's like. The kid actually was exposed to weapons. He did not like it. He actually started crying during the whole process. He's like, I don't like this at all. This is different than a video game. Like, obviously this is more real, but I liked playing in my own world over here. It was just a game.
Yeah,
He continued to play Call of Duty, but he says he doesn't want to actually expose himself to weapons.
And I mean, we're not even going to get into gun ownership or anything with this episode.
You can just cut that out.
No, I mean, it's a good topic. It's just, I mean, that's not what we're here for. We're not here to push any sort of actual political agenda. I mean, you and I both have opinions on that, but it's just, you're here for gaming, and when they pull gaming into it, that's when we talk about it. Going from there, why don't you talk about your sauce, Jerry?
Yeah, I finally got to experience the Szechuan sauce. McDonald's brought it back. And yeah, me and Gary and my coworker, Lucas, went out and we got my nuggets, got the sauce, and it's just watered down teriyaki sauce. That's all it is. We were kind of hoping for like maybe like a little spice to it or whatever, because I know Szechuan sauce, but it was such average to below average sauce that I can see why they got rid of it.
And it's that the thing that we obviously don't understand what the show was trying to do, that you know, all the fandom went nuts over it.
That was Rick's thing. Rick built it up so hard, and then the fans just went ludicrous over it, and the McDonald's tried to cash in with their nuggets, and their chicken strips, and it backfired hard.
Everybody, there were missteps everywhere. I mean, as a fandom, we should have been able to look at this and say, huh, that's a funny joke, but I mean, we're in the age of the internet where that's not possible.
Yeah, it was a walking meme waiting to explode,
And then McDonald's doing the thing where they have just a limited time only, and then scalpers making the craze, all the hype. It was just the perfect storm of man-childness.
Knew what they were doing, too, because did you see the original Szechuan sauce art that was released the first time?
Well, yeah, they were trying to do...
Stylized with Rick and Morty, but not being Rick and Morty.
Well, yeah, of course that's what they're going to try and do, because Rick and Morty is the reason it's, you know, becoming such a big meme. But first of all, they released those posters as like a first come, first serve, and nobody... Did anybody give a shit about the poster?
No.
I did not hear one person going, well, at least I got my poster. it was unnecessary. And then to make it a really super limited... release, it was asking for trouble. Now there are reports saying there were riots and stuff. There were no actual riots. It was just a lot of really
angry nerds,
really angry nerdy tantrums. But I mean, you get the same thing at like I remember the Pokemon Go Fest last year. They had really bad internet reception and everybody threw a fit, and of course the news is talking about people rioting, and it was just a lot of nerds complaining loudly.
Nerds are very helpless, trust me. They're not going to do much besides complain.
Do you remember the episode of IT Crowd where Moss and Roy believe they have PMS and the nerd riots about... about nerds running around and like being rude to old ladies or shouting at a goose. That's what it's like.
That's exactly what's. Oh, I love that show so much.
All right, what are you playing this week, Jer?
What am I playing this weekend? Actually, I just picked up Resident Evil 7 last night for $20 off Walmart. So I'm like, hey, I haven't played this yet. I heard good things. It's cheap enough. I dived in. So I played a little bit last night. I really like the atmosphere. I think the visuals are very, very intriguing. It plays differently, obviously, in a different Resident Evil game, which I'm still okay with, because over the years I kind of like different variations of Resident Evil, because there's Resident Evil 1 and Resident Evil 2, and there's those fixed camera styles, and then when they moved to 4, it became more free with a third person shooter, and then 6 was like more action orientated with like, you know, quick time events, and I think 7 was like an interesting step in a different direction with a first person view with a very steadily horror jump scare kind of claustrophobic areas. So I'm like, this is neat. It's different take on it, and so far I'm enjoying it. I like it.
I already talked about playing more Breath of the Wild, trying to get back to the expansion stuff, the stuff I missed. Other than that, Into the Breach from the creators of FTL has just come out. Haven't had a chance to try it yet. I hear it's just as addicting. So to kind of hold myself off, I've been playing FTL. That game is if you haven't played it yet, it's this popular for a reason. It's addicting. It's kind of like how the Oregon Trail was back when we were kids. The game where you just, it's more on luck than anything, but when you win, you're so fucking overpowered that other than that, we've been playing a lot of, we've been having game nights. We've been playing a lot of board games. And the past week was, I believe, Sheriff of Nottingham. And as far as a tabletop game, that was probably, it's as close to a party game as a tabletop game can get, because it's a lot of shouting and laughing. And it, basically in that game, you have a bunch of goods that you're trying to sneak past someone playing as the sheriff. And then you basically lie to their face or bribe them. If you've never tried it before, it's pretty fun. Jerry, as always, you're invited to game nights if you can ever get out.
If I can get out there, yeah. I don't know. Kelly works that night, and I also get home pretty late. Yeah, that's the problem.
It's a once a week thing, but but I'm gonna start talking more about tabletop, because tabletop gaming is sometimes when you're just done being digital.
Digitally,
yeah, it's a nice break.
It's too much digital, too much analog.
Got any rare finds you want to talk about?
Oh, I did have something. What was it? Damn it. I forgot. You go ahead and maybe I'll think of it.
I think my rare find, I'm going to stick with my tabletop and say at Half Price Books, I found 13 Dead End Drive.
That's a cool game.
Yeah, if you've ever played it, it's a early 90s tabletop game, almost like Clue, but you're trying to kill each other, and there are various plastic traps, kind of like Mousetrap. I haven't built everything in it yet, just to make sure that it's all there. But Dave, friend of the show, has a 3D printer, so I'm gonna try and get him to help out if we're missing anything. But
if you need me, I do have 13 Dead End Drive as well. I will go through my pieces, and I guess I can bring it over one night and we can just compare.
Sounds like a hoot.
Let's just compare our board games. Let's not play the game.
Yeah.
It's a fun game, though.
We had it as a kid, and I don't think I ever got it to work.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think I ever got it to work correctly.
Oh, I found out what a find was. I found Spaced on DVD at Half Price Books last night for $30.
That was one of the old BBC sitcoms with Simon Pegg, right?
Mm-hmm. Simon Pegg, and it was directed by Edgar Wright. So if you guys know what Edgar Wright did, he did Scott Pilgrim versus the World.
Yeah,
he did, and Shaun of the Dead, all those wonderful movies. This is where he started out as, and that's where I became a fan too. So I don't know. I was really happy to find it, because you know everywhere else it goes from like $70 to $100, and I've just found it in the corner at Half Price for $30. So I'm like, I don't like spending that much money, but I'm never going to see it for that price ever again.
Yeah. Other than that, I think we're good for this episode. Thanks for sticking with us. Hopefully we'll have another episode up soon. And send us out, Jer.
Happy gaming, everybody.